Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Doug Tyrrell History and Comment.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Tuesday, the 16th of April, 2024. The first battle between two armies that we can reasonably be certain of the facts takes place on this day in 1457 BC. Egyptian forces engage the Canaanites in what is northern Israel today. Now this raises a number of questions, namely, where were the Hebrews? The best guess is still making bricks in Egypt. It's very hard to date events that far back in history. There are often questions of how to align the various calendars. One source places the Exodus between 1500 and 1445 BC. This would place the battle right in the middle of that period. But Jewish sources place the date more around 1310 BC. I'm not a calendar expert, but to my thinking, the battle would have to be before the Exodus. If you take the biblical narrative, the Egyptian army was devastated. Furthermore, there was no discussion in the Bible of Egypt striking that region after the Exodus or harassing the Jews. If they were able to muster an army, in all likelihood, they would have pursued their former slaves. Still in that region, a couple of millennia later, the Roman siege at Masada comes to an end in 73 AD. We should point out that AD means Anno Domini, or Year of Our Lord. I cringe when I hear folks call it after death. The Jewish historian Josephus says, the 960 men committed suicide rather than surrender, but archaeologists and others dispute that detail. Either way, the Romans won. After that, the Romans conquered the Jews, destroyed the temple, and largely burnt Jerusalem. The region did not have a local government other than a distant empire until the modern nation of Israel in 1948. The Scottish Battle of Culloden takes place in 1746, with the English carrying the day and ending the Jacobite Rebellion. Scottish history would paint this as purely a struggle for Highland independence from England and a side note of who would sit on the English throne, but the issue is quite muddy and complex. England and Scotland had a joint monarch at the time, which usually ruled from London. We were over a century removed from the Catholic-Protestant struggles that surrounded Charles I and II. Some sources would claim that the Highlanders were leaning Catholic and as such preferred Charles Edward Stuart as their king. But that is simply not the fact. At the time, the Highlands were only about 4% Catholic. Bonnie Prince Charlie was Catholic and largely French. He also had a very strong claim to the English throne. The loss at Culloden ended the Highlanders' struggle for independence, at least by open war. It also led to 2 centuries of repression of the Highland culture and a period known as the Highland Clearances. If you follow the early seasons of the television series Outlander, the battle was a major turning point in the series, Season 3, Episode 1. The U.S. Senate ratifies the Rush-Bagot Treaty in 1818. This was a follow-on to the War of 1812 and limited naval vessels on the Great Lakes and Lake Champlain. The Great Lakes makes sense, as in many miles the border between the U.S. and Canada is in the middle of the lakes. But Lake Champlain? That lies between the states of New York and Vermont. But not so fast. It also crosses the border. In the middle of the Civil War, President Lincoln signs the District of Columbia Compensated Emancipation Act in 1862. We often forget there were a few areas that remained loyal to the United States that were in fact slave states. Maryland and Delaware were too, as was the District of Columbia. Kentucky was officially neutral. Missouri was torn. It maintained 2 governments. The more famous Emancipation Proclamation simply did not address slaves in those areas nor offer compensation. Part of the bill allotted $1 million to compensate owners and another $100,000 to pay former slaves if they chose to leave the United States. This will be the only place this method will be used. Inventor Wilbur Wright is born in 1867. He and brother Orville had five siblings. Wilbur was the older of the two famous inventor brothers. An outgoing athlete when younger, he lost his front teeth in a skating accident when he was struck by a hockey stick. After this, he was more withdrawn. Silent film actor Charlie Chaplin is born in 1889. He became world famous in the silent film era and managed to gain a very high degree of control over his films. Part of this was being a founder in United Artists, which was a breakout distribution company. In later years, his political opinions, which leaned left, brought close scrutiny from the FBI. But recall, the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover was largely off the rails. Swiss chemist Albert Hofmann accidentally discovers the hallucinogenic effects of LSD in 1943. Basketball player Lou Alcindor is 77 today. In 1971, he took the name Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Born on the same day was Scottish singer Jerry Rafferty. He was also known for a couple of jazzy hits in the late 70s, Baker Street, and Right Down the Line. He was also a founding member of Steeler Wheel and appeared on the song Stuck in the Middle with You. That's the one with the line, "Jokers on the left, clowns to the right." Cuban leader Fidel Castro declares he's a Marxist in 1961, and Cuba will adopt communism. While much of the Caribbean and Central America leans away from the U.S. example, Cuba is by far the most hostile to the United States. Recently, a video came across my feed highlighting the facts that citizens in the island nation live in very poor conditions and shortages of common necessities. For example, a roll of toilet paper cost a dollar when the monthly pay might be just 25. Common food items are rationed and expensive. Apollo 16 launches in 1972. The final Apollo mission will launch 8 months later. The Eighth Amendment has created a few court cases, maybe second only to the Second Amendment. The Eighth addresses cruel and unusual punishment. Much of the problem is shifts in society's attitudes towards capital punishment or even corporal punishment, which was common in the colonial period. In 2008, the court ruled that execution by lethal injection does not violate the Constitution. Lethal injection should be the most simple and least painful method. The issue comes in as the medical community refuses to participate. 6 years ago, the New York Times and the New Yorker win the Pulitzer Prize for breaking the story of Harvey Weinstein's sex abuse scandal. Yet we still do not have much information on the Jeffrey Epstein case. That fact alone might suggest there is something the media wants to bury. That's History in Comment for the 16th day of April. I'm Doug Terrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.